pulse of the background screening industry. Brought to you by iCubed Advisors.
Hello, welcome to the latest iCubed Advisors webinar. I'm Kevin Bachman, coming to you with a freshly broken nose, joined alongside my colleagues Bianca Lager and Jason Morris. We're here to do our post-PBSA recap. Hi, guys, and let the jokes begin.
Well, you can't open with that without a story. I mean, you gotta tell the story. So, or I'm gonna make one up.
Tell us what the other guy looks like, Kevin. Come on.
Well, the story is you should see what the baseball looked like. Now I was having practice with my boys, and one of our best hitters hit a beautiful line drive right back at me from a distance of only about 30 feet. And that's a really short distance. We were at an inside facility, and there's, you know, protective screens that you stand behind. And I had 97% of my body behind the protective screen. And I told one of our coaches, and it was his son who hit it. And as I'm stumbling around bleeding everywhere, I told him, I'm like, that was such a perfect swing. Tell him not to change a thing. He didn't do anything.
Literally taking one for the team, Kev.
Yeah, this is 5 days in. So we were going to record this 3 days ago, and we decided that the audience just wasn't ready for that.
Well, that's a great story. And if you're still not feeling safe at home, you know, you can call me anytime.
Yeah, exactly right.
And you're not the only one with injuries around here. We are a disabled group. I had knee surgery last week. I'm on crutches for 6 weeks. Jason's the only able-bodied person around here.
I'm about to hit 65 days this season of skiing, and I'm, knock on wood, you know, I'm still walking. So
yes. Well, our good friend Brian Fillmore over at Taz, you know, we've heard his stories over the years, and just the number of times he's broken his collarbone out on the slopes. I've broken it once, and I can't imagine ever wanting to do it again. So you have a hazardous couple weeks ahead for you as well.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Let's dive in. PBSA
get into it.
Wrapped up the annual show the last time at that hotel, and I think everybody's probably thankful for that. But hop right in, guys. I know we have a lot of thoughts. We're really passionate about a bunch of things from the show. The floor is yours, guys.
I'll start by talking about our happy hour, since that was kind of like the kickoff of the whole show. And I mean, a nice send-off, yes, to the Crystal Gateway, which yet again, Bianca had the Uber driver take me to the wrong hotel until I found the right spot. But luckily, all was well. Shout out to the kebab place also that Jason and I grabbed lunch at. Right.
Oh, my God.
Our happy hour, like, that place was so legit.
Which apparently people have been going to this place for years since we've been doing the conference there, and yeah. I'd never heard of it. We walked 3 blocks, and I had some of the best Middle Eastern food I've ever had. It was awesome.
So good. So, so good. Anyway, yeah.
And the happy hour was great. We have the receipt to prove it. Bianca posted a cool picture on LinkedIn. The receipt was taller than her.
Taller than me. A lot of things are.
That's a first time for us.
But great turnout, right? Like it was popping. Like, you know, so many cool faces, so many new faces that of people that I met, and as well as, of course, all the familiar ones. And so it was a nice get together there, and a farewell to that happy hour in that location at the at least.
Yes, for sure. And every time we plan the happy hour, by the way, at a different property, you always start going down like the catering and event rabbit hole. And at least this hotel, because we've done it every year, I know exactly who to call. I know exactly what to ask for. And I say, can you just make sure the bar's open? I'm going to give you a credit card. So mid-year has always been really, really easy. The annual is a slog trying to set it up. So
yeah,
while we might not miss the gateway, I will at least miss the ease of setting up the annual happy hour.
Well, sure. Hey, and I have some notes on that for you, Kevin, when you talk about, because let me tell you, as a bartender of many years in previous events and things like that, there's a reason sometimes that those receipts get that way, and right, we won't get into it. Not that I'm right, claiming nefarious acts, but I'm just saying things get out of control rather quickly. So we'll put together a lovely package next year. Hopefully we'll see where we're at.
Well, I would say as far as the conference goes, the highlights, you know, the staff at PBSA continues to do a fantastic job. This is the first year that everybody, I think, but one person was a paid PBSA employee or contractor and not part of IMI. The people, the new people that I've met that are working with the association under Melissa and Michelle are just doing a fabulous job. They seem to understand the people in the industry and the vibe and everything else. So from that standpoint, it was great. The conference itself, the flow, the sessions, and we'll dive deeper into these things here in a few minutes. I thought went pretty flawlessly. I continue to hate the lunchtime food that they give. I don't know why they can't just give people sandwiches so we can stand around and talk to each other and not have to dig through a meal. But other than that, you know, farewell to the hotel that we all hate so much. And I'm looking forward. I walk by the new hotel. It's downtown. It's in a great area. It's in DC. You know, really, really excited for the new conference center. And hopefully it's an opportunity, and we started talking about this before we hit record. But hopefully it's kind of a reinvention of the conference. So let's talk a little bit maybe about that. Some things that we'd like to see changed. A lot of the vendors were pretty down on the conference. So let's talk about how they can maybe reinvent themselves here.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bianca, because I'm afraid if I start first, I will start and will not stop.
Yeah, I'll soften the blow before Kevin sounds off here. But maybe not. I mean, because, yeah, I mean, hot take for sure. I think we need some serious reinvention of the mid-year conference. And, you know, word on the street, meaning the exhibit hall, and walking around, saying hi to everyone, talking to them, asking how their show is. And, you know, even on Monday, which I had to jet out early for some surgery prep appointments. But even Monday, which should be kind of like, you know, main prime time, everybody's there in prime expo hall time. I mean, vendors are down. They're pretty bummed about the conference, about the activity there, and about the fact that the way of the structure is that essentially they really feel a little bit forced into doing the sponsorships types that they have to do so to get a spot at all, or a good spot or a decent spot at annual. And so, I mean, you know, from the mouths of babes themselves out there, I think that, you know, in my experience as a previous vendor, I have to say that, like, I understood how they felt, just because, you know, there is some, I think, disconnect between, you know, the opportunity for the vendors to be there and, of course, to network with people in the space and take advantage of meeting folks. But, you know, with the emphasis of the legislative and regulatory, it does change the audience type, and it does alter and sort of limit what those business opportunities are for some of the vendors at the space. So, you know, I certainly don't have solutions. I'm just here to complain. And Kevin, I'm sure you have more complaints that you want to get started
well,
with.
Well, I, you know, we always want to preface by saying, and we do it, it's not lip service. Staff is amazing.
Certainly.
It's fabulous to work with.
Yeah.
It's easy to get
something. Conference.
I got this little really cool, awesome thing for serving on the BSCC and being a past chair. This did not influence any of my thoughts. I think staff is fabulous and really, really receptive. It's tough to ignore, like you were saying, Bianca, the feedback that we continue to hear. I have two primary thoughts, and I don't know what's the chicken and what's the egg. My two primary thoughts are nobody goes. The mid-year is overwhelmingly sponsor, lawyer, consultant heavy. CRA attendance, and I went through all 409 people on the HOVA app. People who worked at CRAs made up 38%, give or take, of the audience. So if I'm an exhibitor, I totally understand that feedback. So that's the chicken. And the egg is, and listen, some people, like, people want different things. Like, I was surprised to hear Jason say he wants sandwiches. Like, yeah, I like having, like, real food. I get what he's saying. So different people can have opinions that are equally valid. For me, there simply is just not enough content, especially on Mondays and Tuesdays. I understand the hotel, I understand the layout and the rooms, and sometimes you can only do what you can do with the space. But I counted, and I have some notes that I can reference, I counted something like, I don't know, 5 hours of happy hour or 7 hours of exhibit hall time and an hour and a half of content from Sunday afternoon until like 2:30 on Monday. So you get all the way to Monday afternoon at 2:30, and you got 60 minutes of PAM and 45 minutes of one breakout session. So for me, when I think of, hey, am I going? And I should be going. And like you said, Bianca, the mix is different and the audience is different. The sessions are different. And people might just want to hang out and party and say hi to their friends on Sunday. I would just like to see a lot more content. If not front loaded, just not back loaded until Tuesday, because people start getting out of Dodge on Tuesday. You were out Monday for surgery. I was out early Tuesday because I had to get back home. And unless you're staying for Tuesday, where they had, I think, like four or five, of the breakout sessions, you're really not getting much content those first 2 days.
Yeah, I actually, from a content standpoint, I went to more sessions. I went to eight sessions. I've never gone to eight sessions at any conference, let alone a PBSA conference. And I found the programming to be very interesting. I thought the topics were good. But again, from a vendor standpoint, I see what you're saying. But at the same time, the other side of that coin is this is the only opportunity for them to be in front of clients twice a year at PBSA. There's no other conference, there's no other industry conference. So whereas, they might complain about it, they're still getting in front of the people they need to get in front of. Not necessarily the right buyers within an organization, but they're getting in front of the organizations. And if nothing else, an opportunity for them to send their staff there, have a booth, and take their clients out for dinner. There's a lot of value there too.
And
You know,
this,
I
yeah, I'm sorry.
go ahead. I mean, I was just gonna say, like, I get more done at these conferences, walking around, hanging out in the bar, going to events, and meeting with people that way. And I always have.
Yes.
But those are just some broad thoughts.
Yeah, go ahead, Bianca.
No, I think so too, and I think that like that's maybe part of the solution of figuring out a better balance for exhibitors that have to spend have to not only pay for the sponsorship but also pay for the booth and pay for a certain number of people to be and like things like that where they could invest more in maybe having some more of their staff come or maybe alter their investments in a little way. Like I guess it begs this question for this particular conference or we either alter the exhibit hall experience or the sponsorship experience or mess with the format a little bit in some way, because I think that like it doesn't make a ton of sense for these vendors to sit there and sort of feel like they're just sitting there all day. Whereas, and there's plenty, you're right, plenty of networking opportunity. I mean, yeah, personally for me, I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. Like I'm here for a good time, not a long time, right? And so like I enjoyed the ice cream at the what was it? I don't remember what day it was, but like thank you. You know what I mean? And yeah, I had probably one of the most meaningful conversations, and I always do at some of these events. I have super meaningful conversations at networking events and parties, and I did this as a vendor as well. And so there's something to be said there. Again, I don't really have solutions, but there's something to be said for like a reformatting or a reworking of the traditional expo hall kind of thing, and make it really valuable in terms of yeah highlighting those experiences where vendors can get together with the clients that they need to. Yeah, you're not always going to be able to talk to the exact buyer, the exact decision maker, but gaining some influence in a multitude of ways, or making the conference content altered a little bit so that a few more of these CRAs from not just compliance, but maybe from a few other departments show up as well. I think that's something to explore as well.
Yeah, and these thoughts, that we're sharing, I'll speak for myself, but I feel like you guys feel the same way. I mean, these aren't directed at PBSA. This isn't staff. Like, I have a lot to say about CRAs that are choosing not to attend these shows, whether it's the mid-year or the annual. Like, that I get really fired up about. And the old adage, to Jason's point, hey, you have one good deal or make one, like, and boof, you paid for the conference, right? So there's always that out there. But even to something you said a minute ago, Jay, where you're like, hey, I think you get to see your clients. My biggest worry is there aren't any clients there.
Not
Now
enough.
that we can go into a tangent around market consolidation and whether larger companies need PBSA, et cetera, et cetera. And we push that off to the side for a second. But, when I count 150 or so CRA attendees, and then you take out duplicates and same company and stuff, you're just with, we are our master list, 400 CRAs. And a PBSA survey that they did during the show, 60% of people are return attendees, which is awesome. 20% are new attendees, which is also awesome.
Yeah.
But the total number, it's just not high enough. And it worries me from not only a conference standpoint, but an industry standpoint. And as I stared at myself for 15 minutes, I realized I look absolutely ridiculous.
I'm telling you, I told him, I'm like, I need high def, I need brighter light on
Well,
here. We really need to show that shiner off.
I hope you're able to take what I'm saying seriously because I look like a clown.
This guy, no, to that end, I mean, and I'll say this, like, might I be so bold as to say, yeah, this feedback is for PBSA. Like, and I think the reason, like, I feel comfortable personally, like, saying that is because PBSA is such a great group, such responsive, really big on feedback. We love the feedback as a speaker. I've been a speaker there many, many years in many different sessions, and I love getting the feedback from the audience. I think they do a really wonderful job. And again, really smooth, like, well-run event. And it's not necessarily about reinventing the wheel, but there is something to be said for examining the way, and perhaps our post-pandemic world, how we're thinking about these type of events and just how the industry has changed, the reflection of consolidation and kind of the movement of vendors and different things in the space, and creating experiences that might better reflect whether that's breaking up small into smaller, mini conferences and having more of them, or changing, call it the two that exist now into a format that's a little better, well reflected. I think the great things about PBSA is the ability to listen to what the people say and really pay attention to the pulse of the industry that we talk about all the time. And I think that that's what's so good. But again, like, I'm just a talking head here complaining. Like, who am I? Like, who cares? But to the point of, like, what Kevin is saying, a lot of those core issues of attendance and who's there and what value are we getting out of it, I think, should be considered by everyone in the industry. And bring up your ideas. What do we know? We're just three people. Like, what do the people think? What do you guys think? And we're kind of just talking to everybody and getting feedback, but I would love to hear everybody else's ideas,
Yeah, for
on the
sure.
matter. And I think
And
you
I
guys.
found my notes. I found my notes. First 2 days, 7 hours of exhibit hall time, 5 hours of happy hours. And listen, two of them were ours at the
Right.
kickoff. So I get it. Thank you again for coming. We have the bill to prove it. 2.5 hours of education the first 2 days. And I think, like we go there because we want to, we go there because we have to. But I think a lot of people make a decision and it's like, I'm either there for 0 days or I'm there for 3 days. Because it's hard to fly in on Monday and when you miss and times and you're all across the country, right? I think 2.5 hours of content in the first 2 days precludes people from going.
Yeah, and not only that, the origin of this conference is we had an annual conference every year, and the legislative stuff started piling up, and we decided to start doing some lobbying and have a mid-year meeting, which turned into a conference. It's hard enough to get people to go to one conference here, let alone two. So, maybe the moral of the stories needs to be scaled down. I know you need vendors there and sponsors, otherwise you can't afford to do the conference in the first place. But maybe there's some sort of hybrid, knowing that it's going to be that small, and maybe gearing it towards the people more that are going to be attending there.
And I love tying it to Advocacy Day. You're right,
Yeah.
Jason. I don't know, was it 10 years ago that we made that switch where it just got lumped together? And
Yeah.
if as you balance the dials, that becomes the more overwhelming. Look, I get that.
Yeah.
I like that. And I've never done Advocacy Day. I have small kids at home and it's a fourth day and now I'm coaching baseball. So I get it. I love that it's tied to Advocacy Day.
Yeah, and let me tell you, I haven't done Advocacy Day in a couple of years, but I used to do it every single year. It's one of my favorite things that I've been able to do in my career. Getting in front of legislators, and in some instances we met with actual lawmakers, which was incredible. Really one of the things that I look back on in my career and say was one of the most influential
Yes,
things that I
yes.
did. So, okay.
Well, if we pivot to the sessions, what'd you guys see, hear, think?
I mean, a lot of uncertainty because of Trump. It's a legislative conference, and there was a lot of Trump talk and a lot of uncertainty there. A lot of talk about the uncertainty of the future of the CFPB, how that's going to play into enforcement of the FCRA. There obviously continues to be uptick in litigation against the industry, a lot of ticky-tack stuff for small violations or proposed violations. Matching errors, I got this, I'm just looking at my notes. Matching errors continue to be a top lawsuit that we're seeing and the attorneys are seeing. A lot of talk about AI, how that plays into the future of the screening industry. Yeah, that's kind of the notes I had on the sessions that I went to. All of them were great. I really enjoyed them. Kevin.
A question, Senator. Love the litigation updates, right? Some of the things you had just mentioned there. From your guys' vantage point, did you hear a lot of new things? And I heard some new things, and I don't have a problem with old things, right? Like sometimes we need those reminders once or twice a year. There are 20% of people who have never heard of these things before, et cetera, et cetera. So old is not necessarily bad, but of the trends that you were hearing, specifically litigation, any new data points or any new arguments that kind of jumped out?
Not really, not really. And I would say that from the litigation standpoint, from the legislative standpoint, it's the same because Washington works so slowly. So the things that we were talking about 3 or 4 years ago, we're still talking about. And that's just a matter of how Washington works. So yeah, same trends, same lawsuits happening, same plaintiffs' attorneys. There's so many plaintiffs' counsel now that are firms that are going after background screening companies and end users. So that's just going to continue to increase.
And a lot more tenant attendees than I recall
For
seeing in the
sure.
past. And I'm, looking through, of course, the agenda and just some of my notes as well.
Yeah, and I mean, we love the effort for the end user track,
Yes.
and getting a little bit more perspective, which I've always been a really big advocate as like a client-facing marketing sales kind of minded person. I think that like the more, education and the more conversations we can have around not just the nuts and bolts, operational things and the things that affect it, but like how does this digest down to end users and how do we incorporate their perspective, their goals? And something I talk about a lot, something I talked about in our own session is very much getting better for all of us to get better at speaking their language, getting into their heads and their verbiage and what makes their jobs, not just their company priorities, but their jobs harder or not harder by some of these, not just lawsuits and things, but all the day-to-day stuff that happens and how we can connect with them more as people. Because I think that's what strengthens our client relationships and the overall, I would say position of background screeners and how they fit into, any company as more of a broader partner
Yeah.
than just in this like really niche, call it service or whatever that you might provide. I think there's an opportunity to really deepen your partnership with clients by taking that end user perspective much more as a
Yeah,
higher priority.
I'm thrilled with the track.
As am
Yeah.
I. Yeah, it was great.
Let me run through some numbers for you guys, just building on my feedback of who was there, who wasn't, because I would like your guys' thought on, who wasn't there, who could benefit that isn't because they don't go, et cetera. I'm going to get really fired up when we talk about that. But like I said, I went through, and I literally 409 people, and I just slotted them into what role they play in the industry. So when I talk about like the supplier numbers and the vendor numbers, doesn't mean all these people are exhibitors, but it just means that, they're on the data side or the supply side, et cetera. And then how does that align with who is in the vendor hall? So, taking out duplicates and, numbers could be off a little bit in either direction. I classified supplier or vendor exhibitor attendees at 200. CRA people at 150, about two dozen lawyers, 17 consultants, and 10 or 12 end users. That's tough if I'm paying money to exhibit.
Yeah, but at the same time, if we exhibited, if iCube did a sponsorship, obviously, but if we exhibited, I'd be very happy. I walked out of there with plenty of new opportunities from the weekend. So, you know, in a lot of ways, I would challenge the exhibitors that they're not doing a good job. You know, they're not marketing themselves well. Somebody asked me after one of our session that we did, like, are we busy? Like, is there enough business in this industry? And I'm like, yeah, there's a ton, because a lot of people just aren't really good at what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I talked to a ton of like smaller and on the cusp of the midsize of the industry that are spending no money on sales and marketing.
Yeah.
Like, and they just think they're going to grow by thinking about it or wishing it, you know, or doing all the sales themselves, which they might. But they invest in things in their business that don't have to do with sales or marketing. I'm just very surprised in how these companies don't invest in themselves to grow their businesses.
You are so right. And like, that's a really, really powerful point. And if I'm PBSA, to maybe, you know, the task at hand is to encourage, like, well, okay, exhibitors, like, yes, you're making this investment and it might be, you know, you might feel like you have to or whatever, or it's not really serving the purpose for this exact conference, then it is up to you to make the experience better. Create experiences like client dinners and stuff, but maybe we can get more creative of getting people a reason to go to this and come see you. How often do you get the opportunity? Let me tell you, your client's not going to get on a plane to come out to see you. So if there is a good reason or excuse for them to come, or it sounds compelling, then give them one, make one for them. And I mean, we've had some pretty interesting ideas by a few of these vendors recently that are trying to create more of that and up the ante. And I mean, you know, we can't disclose some spoilers that things that we have planned for
not annual. Until it's signed, which should be soon, because this is going to be all, I can't wait to do this at the
yes,
annual.
Yes, you know, but really I'm powerful point, Jason. And it makes me think of like those creative ideas that have come across our desk, because it's that effort that is going to move the needle and make the difference. And so like, yeah, like, you know, perhaps like that sales and marketing, you know, having somebody take the charge and the creativity to step it up for, you know, your own leadership in the industry, give people a better experience and a reason to come out and come see you. There's all these other things going on. I mean, you know, if I'm PBSA, actually, I'm like, yeah, actually, I'm gonna push it back. Like, it's true. It is really like, this is your investment, guys. This is your conference. Like, yeah, we're putting this together for you. Make the most of it.
And I love that. And you know, hot take, it's been in my head for 5 seconds. It might be worthless after 60 seconds. Hot take. If we're new to each other and we have a relationship and, you know, you hit a certain threshold, I will refund your registration fee. Stuff like that. And you know, I think your point is a good one. And I think we're learning, right? Like, exhibit hall time is not the answer. I don't believe exhibit hall time is the answer. I don't think we need 2 hours for lunch and two, you know, and then breakfast the next day, and then another 2 hours, and then 2 hours at an opening session. Especially at the mid-year, it's just too small. So collectively, how can we as an association, how is we as members providing feedback like this, how can we just make it more worthwhile?
Bring Eric Estrada back.
Yes. Bring back Ponch.
We need Ponch. Totally need
What Ponch. Else do we need to know?
Maybe we should hire him to come to our happy hour since we're in California.
110%. Like,
oh, we should totally do that.
BCH, right?
Yeah.
Can he wear the uniform? Can he rev up the bike?
Oh, okay. Listen,
Chips was my favorite show when I was 5 years old. I couldn't get enough of Chips.
100%. Yes.
California is a great place to bring back Ponch.
really good point. No, and I mean, yeah, yes, exactly. Exhibit hall, we need to spice it up a little bit. We need to, and it's probably not really up to PBSA to be able to provide that. And as a matter of fact, like, there are other shows where you can replicate, new and interesting and exciting ideas. And really, half of it isn't necessarily you have to reinvent the wheel or do or bring Eric Estrada, even though I highly encourage you to do so. It is also just about how you're communicating with your clients and not just sending a lazy email saying, "Well, be at PBSA, hope to see you there." But what are we doing that is going to create that an experience for the people that you want to see there, that is going to be worthwhile for them.
I agree. And I think we're onto something with our idea.
Can I open up Pandora's box here and get your guys' thoughts? I'm not sure where the conversation's going to take us, right?
Come
But when
on
we
with
think of the value of PBSA to its members, not only at the shows, but the membership at large, and we've talked about the trend that we've noticed over the years, HireRight does a wonderful job sending leadership to PBSA shows. But we've noticed and talked for a long time that a vast majority of the revenue, the larger companies, not only don't really send a ton of attendees, they will send some. I'm not saying there aren't people there from all of the largest companies, but you know what I'm saying, right? The head of product is not walking the halls at the exhibit hall. There's not a ton of sessions from organizations that don't really need PBSA to accomplish what they want to accomplish. But PBSA is there for them. And maybe that's just the point of it. And that's like, okay, it is what it is. But when I think of who is and isn't the room, I kind of get worried for two reasons. And it's like a barbell. I get worried because not that like the larger companies need PBSA, but is there an opportunity for them to give back? And maybe that answer is yes, maybe that answer is no. But then just the hundreds of companies, and Jason, you said it before, people just think they're going to magically get better. Just the hundreds of companies. And we know what those companies look like and their labor costs and their fixed cost model, and they pay people whether there's the business or not. But like they got money hemorrhaging everywhere out of their business, but they don't see the value in spending $2,500 to go to PBSA. Like, it worries me, makes me sad, makes me angry, all these feelings at the same time. So that's the Pandora's box there, is kind of that mutual relationship between PBSA to the members. The members, are you obligated to give back to PBSA? And that's it. Comments are welcome for
I
my
mean,
word
it's
salad that I just threw out there.
sure. And I mean, listen, for the larger companies, yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot in it for them, I suppose. And sure, if you want to talk about altruism or something, sure. I don't know if that's enough of a motivation for people in particular. And I mean, there's a lot of reason for that. I mean, they're the complexities of the organizations that they're running now is a little bit beyond and the format and what
And it'll be
they're
small.
yeah the content that they're that's being discussed at PBSA, some people from those organizations I'm sure would gain a lot out of it, but with that more complexity you have complex departments who kind of cover those bases for them. And certainly their lawyer bills are higher, so there's a lot of that that's kind of already in-house, so to speak. That where these smaller organizations, like, you don't have that, right? So you don't have a general counsel, and so you definitely do need to get here and be on top of some of these legislative trends that you otherwise would be very hard pressed to and yeah, a $2,500 ticket to PBSA is getting off real cheap for some of these legal updates that you're getting when you're not in that position. And so
Well
yeah,
said.
Kevin, I mean, agree. It's like your smaller companies are absolutely missing out if you're not beating Jason with the number of sessions that you're attending as a vendor into the space like PBSA. And I tell everybody, it's like, that's where I learned. I mean, it was an amazing opportunity. Like, I didn't know anything, being able to come to PBSA and sit in the sessions, and like, I was like, what is the FCRA? Like, I've never heard of this in my life. And like, being able to really get the vernacular of who my clients were and be able to like understand the full scope, it's an opportunity that like there's not a lot of industries that get an opportunity like this to really get down deep into it and to network like that. And so I don't know what role like larger companies really need to play in this or want to play here. But yeah, I do think that like if you had a head of product at one of these companies and they had a session, like it would be pretty well attended because it would be really interesting to hear about how some of these companies, you know, how they're thinking about the future of background screening in general. So what kind of motivation you can give to some of these guys, I'm not sure, but of course it would be super cool.
Yeah. A couple things that I've been thinking of, not just from the show, but also, you know, First Advantage's latest quarterly report, and a few other sources, right? So if we think of the market size, which we have estimated at $5.5 billion in pure play employment screening services, and if we plug in typical attrition rates of 5%, it's a modest number, it's not an aggressive number. Doing quick math, that's $250 million every year that shakes loose. And the reason I mentioned First Advantage's call is they are estimating, off the top of my head, like 1-5% declines in base growth, certainly over the next 6 months or so. And if we just, you know, you put all the numbers in a stew, right? My point is there are hundreds of millions of dollars that shake loose every single year. And we are not right now, not in an environment where I think that you're going to have 4% GDP and you're going to have return to higher post-COVID. It's a, you know, the rising tide, I do not think is going to propel you forward. Nope. Right now.
Not in this market.
We got tariffs. Now, there's some companies and some providers out there that are absolutely destroying it. And they're grabbing new logos and cross-sells and upsells, and they are doing phenomenal. But I think, and then this is part of the thing, like, man, if you just showed up to PBSA, you'd get ideas and you learn these things and you network, et cetera. But hundreds of millions of dollars out there, just go get 1% of it. Yep. If your company goes get 1% of it and you're one of the 200 CRAs that we estimate in our space at $5 million and below, you have increased the size of your business by 50%.
Yeah.
Just, and I'll tell you this, like one of the number one things.
There's a lot of ways to do this, guys. Go ahead, Bianca.
One of the number one things I hear a lot from CRAs that are struggling with that new business and struggling with capturing, you know, anything. And they're like, oh, well, I mean, you know, those dollars just get tossed around between those large companies because they have such large sales staffs. Like I can already hear the excuses. You know what I mean? And I think that like, one of the main things that I hear all the time as a reason that they can't really play in that, or that they, you know, they're not confident about being able to compete, is because of integrations and the way that the technology stack is limited for them. And I will tell you this, that like there was, I did a ton of work with integrations with social intelligence. It was a very important thing for us, and it ever is in background screening and HR tech in general, because it's unlimited in terms of the number of integrations you could build and have and like whatever. The way I was able to move the needle was by going to specifically PBSA, but conferences in general, and seeing these people face to face and saying, listen, you know,
yeah.
and having a cocktail at these parties, stopping by their booth, you know, being able to really touch base and move on projects that would otherwise lag. And so it's like there's such a part of the ecosystem here. And we're talking about like, you know, reasons why that prevents people from gathering some of that new business or some of that attrition. Like these are the reasons that you do need as an end user and certainly as a CRA to show up, and so that you can knock on some of these providers' doors and you can, you know, meet the people that you need to meet and influence to move some of your integration projects forward and to get somewhere. Because yeah, you're right. I mean, otherwise, you know, you're in a tough spot. So That was a complete tangent and side note, but like honestly, I can't discount that with the things that I've learned and I was able to accomplish by attending PBSA and by just getting out there and meeting people face to face.
I love how you mentioned that. And by the way, I didn't know you were going to share that thought, but we all know that we have a product spotlight that's just waiting on paperwork. We're gonna, hopefully share some thoughts with the audience on how to do that better. Sounds
Yes.
pretty cool.
Very hot topic.
Final thought time, guys, or
I
Yeah.
have I'm excited for the annual. I'm excited to actually go to a conference in Anaheim and go to the conference I didn't get to last time. I'm excited to see everybody again in 6 months and
Tell your quick Anaheim story.
I gotta imagine everybody knows it by now, but just the first conference after COVID. I got to the hotel, I got to California on Friday, not Saturday. And on Saturday morning, I woke up, didn't feel well, and had COVID and was locked in my hotel room for 10 days under quarantine.
We have, and this isn't a humble brag, but Jason, like that was a couple of years ago. We have hundreds of listeners and viewers, so I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't know that.
Thousands, millions.
Do you remember why you got COVID?
I was at the Dead & Company concert a couple nights before, and unfortunately, that's how I caught it.
We all went on the party bus, and my daughter got COVID. The only difference is I was scheduled to fly out the next day, and Jason flew out earlier. So neither of us were at the Anaheim show.
Well, I still say I've been to every conference.
Yeah, that's right.
I've never missed a conference.
Yes. Did you reach the end of the internet? Did you get like that, the end? You're
I
finished?
did.
Because you were
I
there for
did.
like 8 days in a hotel room.
That's horrific. I am excited for annual as well because of some of the things that we're cooking with some of our sponsors. I think it's going to be really fun. Also, I live in California. I do not have to get on a plane. That is amazing. I didn't go to Anaheim and I was so bummed about that because I was like, the one time I don't have to get on a plane, but I was like 7 months pregnant at the time and COVID abound. I was like, yeah, it ain't happening for me. So I just feel like this is my rebound story. Really looking forward to the annual conference and having some fun there, my friends.
Well, thanks again for everybody who stuck with us. If you listen to the audio version on Background Check Radio, you are spared having to look at this for 43 minutes. But we had a lot of fun, not only at the show, saw some new friends, or met some new friends, saw some old friends, and we're happy to share these thoughts with you guys today. And stay tuned to more from iCubed Advisors in the next couple of weeks.
All right,
Thanks,
guys.
everyone.
Thanks.
Thanks so much, everyone. Follow us on LinkedIn for more.